sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night in Europe and ahead to a blockbuster weekend at home. Celtic are through to face Stuttgart after beating Utrecht, with attention now turning to the transfer window. Rangers were already out, of course, before losing to Porto on a mixed night in Portugal. And there's a top-of-the-table clash in the Championship between St Johnston and Partick Thistle. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Well, can I just tell the Celtic supporters in particular, there are 3 days and 5 hours to go before the transfer window closes, and I have to break the news to you that Monday, February 2nd, the final deadline day of the transfer window, is also officially Groundhog Day. How appropriate could that be for Celtic, and indeed for Rangers? But Rangers at least have 3 in already that they paid for.
Celtic's win last night obviously sets them up with that knockout tie against Stuttgart, and then following that away leg, a trip to Ibrox, in which will be a massive game for both teams. Rangers obviously going out last night, you would imagine that would be them fully focused on domestic form heading Easter Road on Sunday, which will be a difficult game, you would imagine. And listen, as Hugh touched on there, transfer window not far away from shutting, you would imagine there would be imminent signings from both clubs.
You can't really beat these Friday nights. How many topics do you want? What did you make of last night, Celtic fans? How pleasing was it to go through? What did you make of the game itself? How do you feel about drawing Stuttgart in the next round? Rangers fans, you were already out, so what could you take away last night? What did you take away from it? It clearly was by no means a dreadful performance. There was some encouraging enough bits. It was a defeat. They had a good team. You know, how'd you balance it all up? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. And the transfer window, as Hugh Keevans quite rightly says, closes in a couple of days' time. The noises are positive. Is that enough for you though, Celtic fans? Martin O'Neill said last night, yeah, you're not a million miles away, when asked about the wingers they were rumoured to be bringing in. Sean Maloney was on media duties today. He backed that up. So are you confident that business will be done, the appropriate business will be done before 11 p.m. on Monday night? Let us know there. The beauty of the transfer window really is the questions apply to you all. What about Kieran Bowie? That is that big fee that everyone was talking about, and so many people queued up to say Hibs wouldn't get that for him. Well, it looks like they have, from Hellas Verona over in Italy. So you would imagine he does not take part against Rangers at the weekend. Top of the table clash tonight in the Championship. Any Jags fans heading up to Perth want to give us a call? We will do the lot. 0141 951 1025. Lots to get our teeth stuck into, Hugh.
Yeah, and let me say, I texted Mark Wilson earlier on today because I wanted to give my best wishes message as they make their way there. I think he's worked very hard, Mark. He puts up with a lot of good-natured abuse on this programme, but he's worked very hard to get Partick Thistle into that situation whereby, if they beat St Johnstone tonight, they go top of the Championship. That'd be quite an accomplishment. But of course, you can't discuss anything without mentioning the transfer window. As I say, Monday is literally Groundhog Day. And the Celtic supporters must say to themselves, why is it always this way? Why is it always the last minute? And also, why, when the defence last night, along with Rangers, comedy defending for both halves of the Old Firm, why, when the defence is dodgy, are the club importing yet more wingers?
They need them as well, though, Scott. I suppose that would be the thing. And it's an interesting time because the attention is going to the transfer window, of course. But Celtic went through in Europe last night, and it's strange because it's almost like so much focus going in the transfer window, the title race. Even last night in the stadium maybe felt a bit flat for other reasons as well. But it's good to have a Scottish team still going to be in Europe come February.
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously that tie we speak about against Stuttgart, that'll be a bumper one for Celtic. You'd imagine the fans will be a lot more lively by the time that comes round. It's Martin O'Neill, I think, has got history against Stuttgart as well. He has come in and done well in Europe. You look at that point he got against Bologna, the victory against Feyenoord, and then obviously scoring four goals at home too. Yes, Utrecht weren't a fantastic side, but you still have to go and win the game. There's a bit of pressure on Celtic and they came through it. So they're in a good place in Europe now. And Martin O'Neill believe that's a tie. If they get players in, they could go and win it.
It was interesting to hear from Sean Maloney today talking about how before the Feyenoord game, the staff almost had to get together and, I'm paraphrasing here, but say like how much are we going to pay attention to Europe here?
Yeah.
Because this season's on its backside.
Yeah.
We've got injuries, and they decided that day, no, you can't. You just can't do that at this club. You can't take your eye off it. Full team will need to play, and then they'll need to go again at Easter Road, and that's just the way it is. And it's worked out for them.
Celtic were a star on their jersey above the badge for one reason, because Europe made their name on the 25th of May 1967, won the European Cup. Therefore, Celtic as a club can never be dismissive of European competition. And I repeat something I said to you last Friday. Martin O'Neill is a cultural phenomenon. He's come in there. He's attempting to claw back the awful job that was done by Wilfred Nancy. And at the same time, he's getting results in Europe. And he's got every right to look forward to Stuttgart, even though the away leg that will decide the tie comes days before Celtic go to Ibrox for what could arguably be the pivotal game of Celtic's league season.
Like we said, Scott, because in a season of such negativity, Celtic have still got a fighting chance now to make something of this competition. Even getting to this stage is the first chapter in that. Stuttgart will be hard, obviously, but not the type of tie that you would completely write off Celtic's chances in. So amidst all the sort of uncertainty, upheaval in the dugout, got the chance to try and kick on again in this competition.
Yeah, of course. I think there's a much of a muchness throughout a lot of the teams in this competition. I do feel Ferencváros would have been the easier tie if you look at where Stuttgart are in the Bundesliga and some of the performances they have had, whether that's in the league in Europe. They have had, they're scoring goals and Celtic are conceding goals, so that would be a problem. But at the same time, we've still got a few more days left. Fans, and I'd imagine even the Celtic players and staff, are expecting players in, so it's now up to the Celtic board. Can they get their deals over the line and come in and give Celtic a fighting chance in all competitions in this second part of the season?
0141 951 1025, that's the number. So let's get stuck in straight away on the phone lines, because there is a lot to get through tonight. Gus is on. How are you, Gus?
Good evening. How's your panel? Doing well?
All good here. Yep. All good. Thanks, what Gus. Are you thinking?
Just a wee scenario for you. Excuse me, I've got a bit of cold. Basically, obviously a good result last night for Celtic, but the Rangers and Hearts fans have been rubbing their hands. They thought Celtic having to play extra games in the run-up to the league. Now, my question is, would Celtic want the prestige of the title or the money of Europe?
Well, they've already made a few quid last night in the realms of 15 million. Put that to along with the money that's already in the bank, they've got 90 million in the bank now. I think you cannot decide to concentrate on one and ignore the other. Martin O'Neill wants to win the league title, although Wilfred Nancy has given him a mountain to climb, and he also wants to go as far as he possibly can in Europe. I don't think that Martin O'Neill would differentiate between the two competitions, and I don't think that the club as a whole or the fan base as a whole should say we'll take one over the other. They are Celtic Football Club. They have to go for both.
It surely just is what it is, Scott. I think I get where Gus is coming from. Of course, you play more games, you might be more tired, you might pick up injuries, but the risk of sounding like we're stating the obvious, you're in football to win games and progress. I always struggle with the notion that like winning's ever a bad thing. You start off in a competition, you want to go far in it. You know, that it's got to be, it has got to be as simple as that this time, and you deal with all the other stuff if you have to.
Yeah, and winning games against good opposition builds momentum, and that's what Celtic are trying to find just now. I think they've done that when you look at the away tie in Feyenoord that they came through, and then they went and backed up with a really good performance at Easter Road against a Hibs side who are doing really well at that time, especially the home form is really good. So it's all about momentum. I think if you ask the Celtic players, especially the ones who aren't from here and come from foreign places, they come here to play in Europe with Celtic first and foremost, and that is usually the be all and end all for most players. They want to play in European competition. So if you've got the opportunity in front of you to go and do well and progress in that sort of tournament, as well as winning the league, then it's a no-brainer for me. That's you got to go into the games expecting to win and looking to win.
So you just asking the question, Gus, or is that your view as well? Are you not that happy to be through last night?
I was just thinking about it, and I thought, you know, the opposition fans are going like, well, we might have a wee bit of a better running simply because of the extra games. Now, Celtic are under pressure at the moment. We'll not go over the scenario about signings because we've got 3 days to go. They can only play with what they've got, but have they got strength and depth and numbers to compete in both? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, listen, multiple things can be true at once, I've got no doubt. If you were going to Ibrox, you would prefer more than,
of course,
a 2 day recovery. You just would. And then, as Gus says, to link it all together, I was going to say, now you really need to sign more players. They needed that anyway, but you know what I mean. If anything, needed to underline it more.
The lack of resources is entirely down to Celtic as a club being very, very bad at transfer windows. For a year now, they've been very bad at transfer windows. So if they don't have the requisite number of quality players, that's their fault. However, they are Celtic, and they do have to go into every game, in every competition, with the same mindset that applies to Falkirk at home on Sunday, Aberdeen away on Wednesday. It applies to Stuttgart, home and away. You have to get on with it and not complain.
Because what would the reaction have been like if Celtic had lost to a Utrecht team already out of the Europa League coming to Glasgow last night? See if they had won. Can you imagine what the atmosphere would have been like? There would have been, maybe some people would have said, I've been concentrating on the league, I still think Celtic would have been battered for it.
Yeah, they would have. They would have, no getting away, especially when you've seen Utrecht in action. As I said earlier, they weren't a fantastic team, and they still managed 2 goals. Celtic too strong on the night. But what it does do, getting that tie against Stuttgart and staying in the competition, you're more attractive then to players in certain markets that you're trying to get players in. So it's now down to the board. Can they get the players over the line that they say that they're looking at?
I think Martin Neil, one of his terrific characteristics is that he came back into Celtic not having managed a club for 6 years, and he reminded Celtic of who they were, because the decision to employ Wilfred Nancy was beyond belief. And by the time Wilfred Nancy left, the club was in total disarray. And Martin O'Neill has come in. He has pacified the fans. He has made them proud of him. And he's getting results. European results, league results. So they're very, very fortunate to have him. And if you said to Martin O'Neill tonight, maybe prioritise the league over Europe, Martin O'Neill would laugh in your face.
What did you make of it last night? Generally, Gus?
To be honest with you, I thought it was a bit of a struggle, especially near the second half. The defence is bolstered, but we don't need the defence, we need attackers. No, it's good to try and sign some wingers, but we need now maybe 3 centre-forwards.
But Gus, you can't say we don't need a defence. You clearly do need a defence.
Well, no, what?
No, he was saying they did.
Well, if you listen to what I'm saying, it's basically they do need the defence, but the priority at the moment is up front.
I'm not sure that's correct.
The three areas that were reported on last week was another striker, a right winger, and a central defender. That was the three. What did you make of last night? You know, Gus said it was it had its moments, no doubt, and it got awkward and it got nervy. Things have a struggle. Is that a bit harsh? And win by 2 goals in the end.
Yeah, I would say struggle's a bit harsh. I thought first part of the first half, Celtic were in total control. Obviously, take the lead with the 3 goals. Lose 2 poor goals. The second goal that they concede is a really poor goal to lose. I think you look at the shape out of possession, and then the questions asked, obviously, Schmeichel again, that he should do better, no getting away from that. But then they obviously show how they recover from that bit of adversity, and Trusty obviously scores a good header from a corner. And then
was the key how quickly Trusty scores?
Yes.
Without doubt. Because at 3-2, I'm told the atmosphere inside the stadium, which was flat anyway, it became anxious. And Trusty just, I think, took the wind out of Utrecht's sails as well, because that at 4-2 they think, well, we were close, but
just a little bit of breathing space.
Thank you to Gus. John is on the other line. Take it away, John.
Ethan, Gordon, Scott and Hugh.
Hi.
Hi, John.
I was on, I think it was about 10 days ago, whatever it was, Gordon, I said to you, I have no problem with the transfer window. I'm not under. And that night, actually, you came out when Celtic made that signing of that boy striker after my call, basically. I had no qualms about that, and I'm still no qualms tonight. I actually think Celtic are pulling a masterstroke here. I'll tell you why. Celtic have been in the past. Now everybody's going, how are they not signing players out the door? How are they not getting players in the door? Let them settle in. I think come Sunday evening, Monday evening, Celtic will have a pick. I mean, there'll be guys that were sitting there in the periphery, right? And Celtic again, listen, you want a contract, come here, we'll give you this. We're in Europe, we're in last, blah, 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 what are the knockout stages of the Europa League, etc. I think it's a masterstroke by Martin Neal and Celtic. I don't have a problem. I think media and supporters, fellow Celtic supporters, make it a surprise come Monday evening what Celtic bring in.
So let me get this straight. Not only are you relaxed that they'll do the business, because they might. I've always said that, John. By Monday, the squad might be unbelievable, because none of us know. But you think this is deliberate? You think this is by design?
100, 150%.
No.
Listen, you need to wake up and smell the coffee here. This happens all the time. It's been happening for a year. I know the conventional wisdom is to say Kyogo. Everyone says Kyogo, but that was the start of it. They sold Kyogo, didn't have a replacement, and a year later they still don't have a replacement. It's not a masterstroke. And Martin O'Neill certainly doesn't think it's a masterstroke either. Martin O'Neill was the one who said there would be serious trouble. I repeat, serious trouble, unless the squad was added to, and quickly. Martin O'Neill, he tries to make light of it with the journalists that he meets about the constant questioning about the transfer window. But Martin O'Neill is desperate for players, absolutely desperate for players. This isn't a masterstroke. This is Celtic's usual complacency.
You might need to be patient in individual negotiations here and there, John, but there's not a team in the world who deliberately waits to the last eight. You say have a pick of what? A pick of players that haven't gone anywhere else.
Okay, could I ask you a quick, is there any teams or other teams out within Celtic in the same position just now who might go and do their business on Sunday or Monday? Can you tell me that?
And what's that got to do with anything?
What do you mean, say it again, sorry?
Because what I'll say is there other teams out within Celtic who will go on Sunday and Monday, who haven't signed players, can go on Sunday and Monday, go and do their business, maybe sign 3-4 players or whatever it is. I do believe it as a masterstroke. That's my opinion. And what I'm saying is here,
I don't feel that Celtic are relying on players going out, though, to then get players in. I think Martin O'Neill touched on it about a week before the Hearts game, that he was wanting reinforcements for the Hearts game. So it would be a huge surprise if they were to just bring in guys on Monday or Tuesday.
But John, the bit I'm lost at is because Martin O'Neill's obviously said that, you know, everybody would have preferred them in sooner. So is he kidding on when he says that, and he secretly knows that it's a good thing to leave it till the end?
Okay, this might sound stupid then. What should we do with the transfer window? Should we just make it a transfer window, just open it for a week rather than a month?
No, John, I feel like you're missing, I think you're missing the counter argument. No, because this is what I said to you right at the start. I said right at the start, Celtic might be able to do good business. So I'll repeat that. They might be able to do good business. That is very different from deliberately leaving it to the last day. No club does that.
No club does that.
Deliberately leaves it to the last day.
I think, Gordon, you might be proved wrong there. I think clubs will do that. Gordon, let me finish for a wee minute, if you don't mind. I think there's clubs out there who wait later in the window, even if it's 2 days before the window. Let me just tell you, Celtic have done this before and signed guys like Robbie Keane, etc., different players, etc., etc. Just let me finish. And what I'm saying is, I do think it will be Sunday, Monday. You might get a surprise. The quality they bring in, look at the opposition and thought, okay, they've got that, they've got that. We can go and get Burton, but they've got. Listen, everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I think it's a masterstroke, and I think it will be. And I think Hugh Keevans especially, and Scott yourself, I think players might leave Sunday or Monday. So I do think that. But what I will see, come Monday, or sorry, Tuesday, You might be giving me a wee call, you
know. No, because this is the thing. These are these two very separate things. For the third time, I'll try not to do it a fourth. Celtic might do good business on Sunday and Monday. Yeah. That is different from saying that it's all been a masterstroke and John, it's all by design.
John is being...
That's so different.
John is being optimistic out of defiance. He's fed up with people like me and you and Scott talking about Celtic in the transfer window. So he's decided to come on and invent some peculiar scenario whereby this is, to use John's word, a masterstroke. Brendan Rodgers kicked up a fuss about the transfer window and Dermot Desmond got rid of him as a consequence. Martin O'Neill doesn't kick up a fuss because he's got enough trouble swirling around him at Celtic as it is, but he makes it very, very clear and has made it very, very clear that he wants players in. If you think Martin O'Neill is waiting until Groundhog Day on the 2nd of February out of choice, then you have fairies at the bottom of your garden, John.
Thank you very much to John. It was an interesting theory. I think we can at least agree to disagree on that. 01419511025. Keep the calls coming. We'll speak to you next.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here at 0141 951 1025. Let's dive straight back in with Ian, who's a Celtic fan on the line. Hi Ian.
Hello guys, can I speak to Hugh Keevans please?
Hello Ian.
Hello Hugh, you've talked to me a couple of times in the past 6 months. I'm the shareholder, season ticket holder from Aberdeen.
On you go Ian.
The reason of this, phone call is shock at the last caller saying even the transfer business last day of the season was a good idea. How is it possible for that to be a good idea? The last couple of years paid well over the odds for us, desperate panic buys. No way it's a good idea. We've squandered millions for the last 2 years, this plan.
Well, one of the reasons why it's not a good idea, Ian, is that the games that are played from January onwards, you know, on the 3rd of January, Celtic lost to Rangers. There goes 3 points. If you'd had a player in by then, and I don't mean Orojo, who played that day at fullback, but if you had a striker, a defender, whatever, then it would have been a help. Martin O'Neill then came in and Celtic were very lucky to have him back for a second interim spell. But Martin O'Neill knows that every time they go on to the park, there's a danger of losing points. They dropped two at Tynecastle last weekend. They're playing Falkirk, a very good Falkirk, this Sunday, and points could be dropped there. It's not impossible. And that's why you should be doing your transfer window business from January 1st and as quickly as you can. And that's why John, the previous caller, was simply so wrong, it wasn't true.
I didn't think we'd be having a sincere discussion about whether it's a good idea to do your transfer business all on the last day or not, but here we are. I get to state the obvious. Austin Trusty's suspended for Falkirk this weekend. If Celtic have got a brilliant centre-half in mind, their ideal guy for January, if he was in the building already, he'd be able to play. He'd be able to take Austin Trusty's place.
Yeah.
So how could it be good to deliberately get him on Monday? Anyway, I don't even know why but I keep bringing it up. But every club, by the way, it's not possible. And that, so there's a wee grey bit there. It's not always possible to do it early, otherwise every team would sign everybody in the 1st of January. You can't. And Celtic might have to wait because you've got people, you know, dominoes. Somebody goes here and then he goes there, and there's a knock on effect. That happens all the time. So it can happen. But like I said, come on, there's no chance. It's like
five points have been dropped, Martin O'Neill, they're very fortunate that he's there to steady things. So, you know, we just have to put John's call down to experience.
Ian, you, John's also very confident that you will get the business done by Monday, which you might. Keep saying that. Where's your confidence level on that one?
I've got absolutely no confidence in this board whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you, can I make one more point, please?
The floor is yours, Ian.
I'd like to make this. That 70, 80, 90 million pound that's in the bank, it's guys like me, my fellow supporters, who put that money there. Directors did not put that money there. They're carrying on like it was their money. It's our money. And they should never, ever forget that point.
And also, Ian, remember that Celtic, one of the problems is they have no recruitment department anymore. And Martin O'Neill...
To be fair, that's not strictly true. There's no head of football operations. There's still a recruitment department.
But Martin O'Neill, I think Sean Maloney said in his press conference today that Martin O'Neill has the final say on every transfer. That's something that has to be examined going forward because Celtic are being left behind.
Do you want to hear that answer? Here was Sean Maloney. He was asked about how it all works now, basically. How does the recruitment process work? And here is what he had to say. Sean Maloney speaking earlier on today.
We want to bring in our types of players. I was really happy with the two that we brought in. I think the difficulty for the club is that...
Do you know what? I think that's the wrong clip. That's not the one I had in mind. So let's play the one where he explains how it works, first of all, and then we'll hear about his targets.
I understand then
not
that there
as big
is a
as what Martin let you guys say, but no, it's just working extremely hard with the recruitment department, with the recruitment analysts, with the board. I think Martin underplays his own efforts in it because I don't think there's anyone in this building that watches more players than Martin. You have all the staff are doing the same, so we're kind of all chipping in at this stage. It's definitely Martin that has that final say, so I think once it gets to this stage or the list of players, so I think it's... I wouldn't say I'm taking the players to that list. That's definitely a recruitment team. I think, as in most clubs, you generally get sent quite a few players or certain players that you think are specific or could do a certain thing for us. Yeah, there's loads of different sort of ways. We are definitely trying to change parts of the recruitment team, or maybe the process, not the team. It's just really specific. So I've been really happy with the two guys that have came. So like, I think Julian and Thomas are types of players or profiles that we haven't had. And then it's really specific that the ones that we want to try and bring in. And yeah, we feel that we've got a few that sort of do the things that we need, particularly on that right side. And then, yeah, hopefully we can get them in.
It was interesting to hear how it works, Scott, because obviously things have changed. There's no Paul Tisdale. Was it James Bell Walker was the guy that came in from Chelsea at the start of the window? There is a recruitment department there. It just might not look exactly how it might look going forward or how it used to look or whatever. Sean Maloney talking about, you know, names coming to them, Martin O'Neill watching loads. The one that seems to be closest, I think, I don't know, would be Frosinone's Fares Gyergyemis, if my pronunciation is correct. Left-footed right winger, playing in Serie B. Going to cost a fair few quid, though, to get him in. Talking, kind of, was it 6-7 million? But you heard John Maloney there talking about that wide right area being the sort of priority, or one of them.
Yeah, I think you can safely say from his interview that they've identified that he would be the target they're looking to get in. And if that's the case, then yeah, sometimes trying to get the transfer fee, the wages, all the stuff that goes with that, the medicals, that could be a process which is starting just now. But when you look at John's call, he's saying about things getting done the last day. If there's three or four players in, you're trying to fit the paperwork to all go with that, agree wages, obviously getting your test done, all the stuff that goes with it, that can be very difficult. But they have identified a left-footed, right-sided player who you would think would come in the similar style that we've seen over the last few years, come in and play combinations and get into the back post and score goals, which Yang actually done really well against Hearts last Sunday. But for me, the problem that Celtic do have is, are they recruiting for Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, or are they recruiting for the long term? And that is the problem, because he's...
It's now Hugh starting to look like there will be a long term one. It looks like there is a willingness to spend money. Now I know that gets met with a bit of cynicism, and maybe it won't happen, but if it's going to be that guy, they're going to need to spend money for him.
Yeah,
talking about a Casper Hawk, however you say it, at Bodo Glimt, if you want him, you're going to need to spend money. So it looks like there is a willingness there to do that, despite the fact Martin O'Neill is here till the end of the season.
Yeah, in the passing, the Bodeglund striker, someone who scored the winning goals against Manchester City Atletico Madrid, I do not see him coming here in time to play Falkirk on Sunday. To address Ian's point about supporters and how much money they put in the bank for Celtic, he's perfectly correct. I think the supporters are entitled to feel that the way the club is being run at the moment is deeply unsatisfactory. All of what has taken place this season, Brendan Rodgers going, Wilfred Nancy being appointed, Martha O'Neill having to come in twice to try and prevent catastrophe from happening in the league, I think the supporters are entitled to think that the club lay back financially to such a high degree. The club ought to be doing better at running the club than they are.
And I'd never demean the role of fans in any of that, but it is a joint up effort, isn't it? I'm sure if someone on the board was here, they don't never hear from them. But if someone was here, they would say, yeah, a lot of that money's prize money that came from the team that we assembled or players that we sold. So look, fans put in brilliant money, no doubt about it. The Celtic win money and earn money that way, so you know
the key is when they're all connected. That's the key, and that's when Celtic have been most and that's when Celtic have been most successful in recent years, when they've all been connected, fans, players,
Michael,
and the staff.
Michael's a Celtic fan. Happy with last night, Michael, and what about the draw?
Yeah, I was happy with last night, Gordon, with the result. As I said to your producer, we're 3-0 up in the first 20 minutes, then we nearly threw it away, and the draw is favourable. I'll take it. The only reason I called up, I wasn't going to call this evening, but that last caller before the other guy saying Dane transfers at last minute, waffling absolute nonsense. This board need to go. They've not got a scooby. As the previous caller said to Hugh there, it's our money that they're holding on to. They're sitting with £90 million in this bank, and my penny pension for players, penny pension, is embarrassing. We're a Celtic football club, but a big club, not a media, not a wee club.
Do you think this is always my response, Michael, because this just comes up so often that it's inevitable you get the same stuff back. He spent £5 million on Balakwisha. This has to be more complex, more nuanced than just Celtic need to spend more. What if Celtic go and spend £50 million this window, but it's in 10 Balakwishas? Where does that get you? Michael.
That doesn't get you anywhere, because Balakwisha, she mucked on quicker, God.
But you know, that's my point, Hugh. It's always about trying to find that sweet spot. Yeah. I'm not saying Celtic don't need to spend more, but it's just it's a much more complex argument than that. Yeah. Saying, you know, penny pinching, holding on. I'm sure there have been loads of examples players Celtic could have got if they'd nudged the price up. Fine, but by the way, is Tenechti even worth £5 million point? It just happens that he's better than Balakwisha. So
if you're basing Tenechti on last night's performance, not worth £5. So the recruitment has had its great moments. Nicholas Kuhn, Jota, whoever. But, my goodness, some of the stuff that's gone on recently, as you say, Balakwisha, Tenechti, no wonder they need other wingers. But there's a malaise about Celtic at the moment, which, again, is great for them. They've got Martin O'Neill there.
Even on the transfers, though, Hugh, for you. So Sean Maloney's saying in that interview there that he ultimately has the final say, and he is the interim manager, and you would expect him to be away in the summer. Do you think it's right even just now that he's the final say and the players come in?
But I think so, because Martin,
interesting though, that thing, just like, that whole.
No, I don't think
system.
MD, I don't think MD would suggest it's like in an ideal world. But what's the alternative?
Exactly, Martin O'Neill at the moment is Celtic. Martin O'Neill came in after Brendan Rodgers' departure and did a wonderful job, and then they got rid of him and brought in a man who did the worst job in history. And now Martin O'Neill's back trying to salvage that situation as well. So at the moment, Martin O'Neill is Celtic. If you took Martin out of the equation just now, it would be terrifying to think the state that Celtic would be in.
Thank you very much to Michael. Says it was pleasing to get the job done last night, a favourable draw for Stuttgart coming up next. What about you, Rangers fans? What did you make of last night? You were already out, and clearly Porto were very good, and it was away. So I don't know, sum up for us. What did you take away from it? Were there elements of it that you thought were encouraging? The manner of the goals you conceded perhaps concerning? Did it show what you need at the top end of the pitch, or was that too big a task against Porto anyway. You tell us, what did you take away from that game in Portugal? And we'll speak to you after this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids 5k a day with 101 convenience stores. Open every day until 10 p.m. Visit them in store or get it delivered to your home.
Got a good challenge for you. Hugh Evans does this easily, walking to the shop for his paper, then at the train station, then down here, then back. 5k a day all throughout February. It's Clyde One's Cash for Kids' latest challenge. We're going to raise money for local children that need your help. It doesn't matter if you run it, walk it, jog it, whatever. You can do it at your own pace. You'll get fit, feel good, and most importantly, help raise money for children that need our help. So get involved now at ClydeOne.com, and it's all thanks to our friends at 101 Convenience Stores.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here at 0141 951 1025. Give us a call, send us a tweet, let us know what is on your mind this evening. Big weekend coming up as well, Hugh.
Oh, huge games everywhere. You know, for Kilmarnock it's a big weekend. For Livy, they are isolated at the bottom there, and they've got to work a way out of that situation. It'd be interesting to see if Kilmarnock do get Finlay Curtis from Rangers.
Looks imminent.
It would be a big help. I'm slightly surprised that Rangers even doing that bit of business. I think he's got more to offer Rangers than letting him go on loan to another club who are in relegation bother.
Depending if they still have someone lined up to come in, which you would imagine Rangers make a few more signings and his game time then becomes more limited, then it would be more beneficial. Whether it's beneficial when you're right in the midst of a relegation battle,
if having done Scott Olsen already, because all the talk for Rangers now is another striker.
Yeah, and that is evident. Rangers do need to fill that position in someone who can come in and really hit the ground running.
Let's go back to the phone, sorry, just conscious of the time. Didn't realise quite how late it was. Jack's in Bayliston. How's it going, Jack?
Hi, I'm alright, mate. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for asking. What made you call?
Yeah, well, thanks for panel and having me on as well. No, I just think that they were on about the goals that Celtic have been losing lately, and I just think that, I don't know, the keeper, I want to know what the panel think of the keeper not commanding his 6 yard box as a keeper, as far as I'm concerned, should be. The one against Hearts, the second one, it wasn't a whipped-in ball. The way Tavernier and that can whip them in, it was a floating ball, and I don't think he comes out for them enough.
I know there's a campaign against Schmeichel at the moment, but I think it's unfair. He's in the twilight of his career, I don't doubt that. He's not the goalkeeper he once was, I don't doubt that either. But I think back on some of the big saves that he's made recently that have kept Celtic in games.
Not too humble to crying the guy for what he does. And the saves he does pull off. I mean, I'm annoying him for doing this, but I just think that we lose a lot of goals at the back post on floaty balls that come in on the second ball with no one in it, and it's not just doing the defenders. If he comes out, I mean, Sincero doesn't do it either. He doesn't come out, and I think we need a goalkeeper.
Well, that's the thing, Jack, isn't it? Sincero had his opportunities, and he hadn't done enough to claim a starting berth in that team. I think Schmeichel is still your best goalkeeper
out of the two, obviously, right? But then that's a different issue to is he good enough, or is he at the level you'd want, or, you know, would you look to...
I don't think he'll be there next season.
He won't be there next season. I'd be very surprised if he isn't. If you're looking at that second goal against Hearts,
what do you make of the two last night?
I think you should save the second one. The first one, there's bodies in the way, and the player just shapes it round the leg, which you see quite a lot in football, so he doesn't have a clear sight of it. But the second one, I think, should do better, no question. The equaliser for Hearts last Sunday at Tynecastle, that driven ball, isn't exactly an easy one for a goalkeeper to come taking amongst bodies, so usually they'll opt on the side of safety, stay in their goal and then defend the next one. The problem is when you're not defending first and second contacts, and then it's the goalkeeper's then taking the blame for it, it can be frustrating. So first of all, when they get in the change room, Schmeichel saying we have to win first and second contacts, that's the one thing as a coach that you say you don't usually say to your goalkeeper, come and collect everything. It's defend first and then you're relying on your goalkeeper to pull off a save.
Celtic have been very unlucky this season. Obviously the long term loss of Carter Vickers and Ali Johnson. But defensively, you know, Tony Ralston, Dane Murray might have to play on Sunday, and I know he's early in his career, but
interesting to see what happens with Stephen Welsh in the next couple of days. Well, because you've got a scenario where the only club he can go back to, if any, is Motherwell. And you obviously know the way loans work. It can, we'll talk about Rangers, Finlay Curtis, it can be good because this guy can play against all your rivals, but he can't play against you. However, not to try and, you know, talk up the Steelmen, I don't usually need a second invitation. Motherwell are the team closest to Celtic in the league. It'd be interesting for Celtic to go and strengthen Motherwell right now.
This is where players become commodities. Not human beings, just commodities. And Stephen Welsh is a commodity at the moment. Celtic are hedging their bets. Meanwhile, he's left drumming his fingers, not knowing who he'll play for him a week today.
Jack, are you saying it's something you would look to address this transfer window, the goalkeeper, or do you accept that it's just down the list of priorities?
No, I don't think it's a list of priorities. I think we need one that's going to, as I said, come out and command these boats like the old-fashioned goalkeeper. I know that the hustle and the bustle are in the boats. It's always but goalkeepers, as you said on his show, many a times they get away with murder. You know what I mean? They're coming out for balls and it's no fouls. If it gets stopped coming out, the referee's looking at it. You know what I mean? But I think it's something that Celtic need to address. As you say, twilight of your career, how long is this going to last?
That's the thing though about the window, isn't it? And everybody's got different priorities.
Yeah.
Maybe in a dream scenario, Celtic do, but if we're talking about right now where they've signed two loans and everybody's saying they definitely need a striker, they definitely need a right winger, they probably need a centre back, Jack can politely disagree, which is fine. Goalie comes somewhere below that. You would just be really surprised if Celtic got a new goalie, is ultimately what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Schmeichel will be the main man between now and the end of the season, and then at that point I think his Celtic career will end.
Is his contract up at the end of the season?
I think so.
Need to double check that.
But I don't think Martin O'Neill will prioritise a goalkeeper by 11 o'clock Monday night.
Centre back, though, said that.
Centre back, yeah.
The only thing though about that is it is reportedly those three areas I said, striker, that's when you bring in the Casper Hawks of the world and the other people that are getting debated. Gyökeres is again reportedly the winger. Don't know about the centre back. There've been a couple of things, but that seems to be the one that's got the least noise about
it. Which would tend to suggest that they don't have one in mind.
Or maybe it's all by design. Let's end the first hour as
Let's end the first hour as we started it.
Thank you to Jack and Bayliston. It's time for us to play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. I'm excited for this. Friday's Beat the Pundit. It's always got an extra edge to it. Let's see how we round off the midweek. If you want to take on Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen, tell you what, the performance of the week for me was Tony Watt. He takes really seriously. He says his wife has been desperate for him to play. He lost his first one.
Yeah.
Ended up giving a pair of his socks that he manufactures away to the contestant, and he won so convincingly the
other
night.
I thought he was doing that already with
himself. He was so chuffed to win, and then he went after it, he requested if he could get his own coin because he wanted to take one of the coins, and he says he's going to use it in the golf course, even though they're very big and quite heavy.
He should be concentrating on getting to the top of the championship.
Did he get seven right?
He was flying. So anyway, let's see what you've got in your locker tonight. The lines close for Beat the Pundit at 7. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Join in if you can. We're here for another hour. Of course, the transfer window is one of the hot topics every night, but we've got big European games to digest, big league games to look forward to. We don't even need to look too far ahead to the top of the table clash between St Johnstone and Partick Thistle in the Championship, which takes place this evening. What about last night, Rangers fans? What did you take away from it? What could you take away from it? You were out already, and it was clearly a tough task on paper. There might have been bits you were quite content with. I'm sure there were bits you weren't content with. So please get in touch, because we're going to hear from Danny Rule, so you might as well join in after we play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, it is Beat the Pundit time, so loads to look forward to there. Hopefully give away a coin or a ball, no offence to the pundits. I've actually got some breaking transfer news tonight as well. That is confirmation that Kieran Bowie has joined Hellas Verona on a permanent deal, and it is a club record fee for Hibs. So that big fee that everyone's been speaking about, he has gone there as well. So any reaction there, get them into us. But Jordan's going to play Beat the Pundit. How are you, Jordan?
I'm good, how's yourself?
Good, thank you. Is this your debut? Have you done this before? What's the story?
No, I've never done it before, but I've got a boy sitting next to me, at his, so hopefully he can help me with
that. Alright, he's pulled in some help. Who's that?
Michael.
Oh, I remember Michael. Was he good?
He's brilliant at it every week, but no doubt he'll probably
be. Oh, you two are in trouble.
So that means we've got Michael Jordan playing?
Absolutely. See, good. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
So creative of you.
Sharpest mind in the game, honestly. Yep. I would never have noticed that. It was 5-on-1 the other night. Tony Watt took on 5 people in a car on the way to, well, Porto essentially. They were driving to Bristol. Gordon Dale would not have stood for that. He doesn't even like it when it's 2. But Michael Jordan in the car will take on either Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen. It will be blue Hugh on the coin or red Scott. That doesn't rhyme, but we'll do what we can. Let's see who it's going to be. It's blue Hugh writing off. So Hugh is going to play against Michael Jordan in Dumbarton. So what we'll do is we'll give you 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Jordan, if you could be the spokesman so I'd manage to hear you nice and clearly, is that all right?
Yep, no worries.
Good man, you're going to have 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's the only full Scotland international currently playing for Norwich?
Kenny McLean.
Who was the last Rangers manager to win a treble?
Walter Smith.
Who are Partick Thistle playing tonight?
St Johnson.
Name either of Celtic's top scorers in the Europa League.
Negrin.
How many of the 2026 World Cup host cities are in Canada?
2.
Name either team currently in the semis of the Challenge Cup.
Spenny.
Who were the only team Rangers beat in the Europa League this season?
Mine's went blank.
Is that a pass? Let's do it. Okay, let's bring him back. Blue Hugh, you ready?
I am.
Can I have a wee question for you before we go on?
Yeah.
You bringing the tash back?
I'll tell you why. I walked in here,
it's been bothering me since 6 o'clock.
I walked in here in 1985 with a moustache.
Right. Oh, I'm interested. Where's this going?
And we're leaving here.
We are?
We're leaving this building. I'm walking out of here 41 years later with a moustache.
That's amazing.
Love it.
Just your own idea? No,
yeah.
George Bowie's not put you up to this.
No.
There's no Cash for Kids sponsorship.
Does it not grow as quick anymore?
Do you know, well, you just keep yourself in check there. I once had the moustache shaved off by Taylor Ferguson on the George Bowie programme.
There you go.
Where I had it shaved off live on the wireless.
So you just decided on your own?
I thought, listen, let's mark it, because producer Jay showed me this photograph of myself with the moustache in all its glory in the 1980s, and I thought, you know what, I'll just grow another one to leave the building.
Brilliant. I love it. I love that from you. Let's see what answers you've got under that tash. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name the only full Scotland international currently playing for Norwich.
Kenny McLean.
Who was the last Rangers manager to win a treble?
Walter.
Who are Partick Thistle playing tonight?
St Johnstone.
Name either of Celtic's top scorers in the Europa League.
Nygren.
How many of the 2026 World Cup host cities are in Canada?
1.
Name either team currently in the semis of the Challenge Cup.
Cardiff Thistle.
Who were the only side that Rangers beat in the Europa League this season?
Oh, pass.
Scott Allen was trying to tell him there. I nearly threw my pen at him. That's not allowed. Right, Jordan, Michael, what are you thinking?
You overruled me. I overruled him at the race
rovers, and Steny went. Oh, there's going to be fights in that car, believe me. Because I think you know the way that answer is heading. Let's go through them and find out. The only full Scotland international for Norwich is now Kenny McLean. And years gone by, Angus Gunn and Grant Hanley and so on. But Kenny McLean, the mayor of Norwich, very much still there at the moment. You both said Walter Smith. It was incorrect for both of you. It's Alex McLeish, the last treble winner.
Oh.
2003 season. Who are Partick Thistle playing tonight? St Johnstone, of course. You both got it, so we're level. Name either of Celtic's top scorers in the Europa League. I feel like Negrin was the easy one. Should have made you guess the other. Hatate.
Oh,
he's got 3 as well in the Europa League. So you both got it. It's a good game, this. 3 all. Name how many of the 2026 World Cup host cities are in Canada? Toronto, Vancouver. The guys in the car got it. They go 1 in front of you. However, this is where they're going to fall out. Who's driving, by the way? Who's driving?
I don't know if I can fight him.
I know, but who's kicking who out of the car? That's the question. Who's on their own?
He's driving to Bethwell, so right. I'm out.
You get on Uber, because name either team currently in the semis of the Challenge Cup: Raith Rovers or Inverness Cali Thistle. Hugh got it. Are both Airdrie, St Johnston, Ayr are still to try and confirm their place. So Hugh equalises in dramatic fashion, and in some ways one of the easier questions, maybe. Ludogorets, the only team Rangers beat, but none of you got it, which means we're going to end the week on a tiebreaker. Oh, good one this. What I'll do, guys, is I'll ask the question, I'll get Hugh to write his answer down, then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
No bother.
Right, the question is this: how many international goals have all the players in the last Scotland squad scored combined? So write it down quickly, Hugh, so they can't Google it. Right, what are you going for, guys? How many international goals have all the players in the last Scotland squad scored combined?
I've not got a clue, but you think 45.
Okay, the guys have said 45. Hugh Keevan says 64. How's your arithmetic, Jordan and Michael?
Terrible.
Because if I told you that McGinn's got 20, McTominay's got 14, we're at 34. Shea Adams has got 11. So you're bust already. And that's before you get to Dykes, Christie, etc, etc, etc. It's 89, Hugh Keevans. You were still 25 away, but crucially, you were closer than those two. I was going to say those two. It's now only one of them in the car, because the other one's been kicked out. But there we go.
The power of the tash.
I know, we wouldn't have needed that tiebreak.
Exactly. But that, listen, that's teamwork. You've got to get your relationship down before it starts. Do you think that was inspired by the moustache?
I think so, yeah. I feel this is going to be an important stage of my career now, as I leave here with the moustache.
There is no set date yet on us leaving. They say the spring. Clearly kept deliberately vague. What if it keeps getting delayed? You'll be like that Man United fan who can't cut his hair until, what is it, until they win, is it five in a row or something, whatever his deal is.
Did he not get his hair?
I know that it exists. I don't care enough about it to know what's the status it's at. But that could be you. Well, you could have a big walrus number by the time we get out of here. It might be spring next year.
I'll just go back to Bowie and say, right, who's the biggest hairdresser in town now? Get him back in here and he can trim the moustache on Bowie at breakfast.
It's got to be whoever does his hair. Look at that. Look at the care and attention that goes into that, honestly.
Mark Henswin called Babbles.
That's a work of art, that thing. Jordan, are you a Dumbarton fan?
Yes.
How's the big game against Edinburgh City looking tomorrow?
Oh, I'm quite positive, to be fair. Me and Michael actually did the commentary for Dumbarton.
So nice.
Oh, brilliant.
Did I meet one of you in the street a couple of weeks ago, no?
Aye, that was me.
On Gordon Street?
Aye, that's right.
That just came back to me. I remember somebody said that they worked for Dumbarton. There we go. Was that me doing my last minute Christmas shopping about one day ago?
I think we both were.
There we go. Good minds think alike. Well, enjoy the game tomorrow. Thanks for playing, unfortunately. You have the indignity of losing to Hugh Keevans on a tiebreaker. Hardlines.
It's a massive game for the Sons of the Rock tomorrow. 5 points in it between Edinburgh City and Dumbarton. Huge game.
Don't speak to Scott Allen about lower league football.
Did you
see the East Kilbride result the other night?
Yeah. I thought of them right away.
How many did it get to in the end?
Six.
Can't remember. Nah, it was six.
Let's go semi-sincere for a moment. How sore is that? I mean, like, it's your second, they're first, you're trying to catch up on them. Any defeat with a stung, what's that like? Because that must be a massive blow.
It was a massive blow because there was a lot riding on the game. I think instead of them going to 8 points, it would have went to two, and that would have been obviously on their coattails again, which I will say to Spartans, a lot of credit, a lot of good experience in their team, worked well as a team, and on the night, just individual errors did cost us, and we could have played all night and not scored. It was just one of the nights to forget. So we go again tomorrow, Forfar at home.
Is there now a job? Right. Is there a job on to make sure the manner of it doesn't make it sort of even more damaging than the 3 points? If that makes sense.
Yeah, but the good thing is you've got a game tomorrow, another home game, and I don't think it can get as low as it did, obviously on Tuesday night against your rivals for automatic. But listen, Spartans have obviously put a bit of distance between themselves and us now, so we just need to get back to winning games.
See, when someone says that it can't get any worse, you just always think of that Mick McCarthy meme.
Yeah, it can.
Constantly. It can. I hope for your sake it doesn't. Thanks again to Jordan and Michael there in the car somewhere, pulled over in Dumbarton. I think they too will fall out over that.
Because
he had the right answer, but he overruled them.
Oh dear.
There we go. I can't do that. Right, 01419511025. That's the number you need. Get in touch and let us know. I did say Rangers fans, we're going to hear from Danny Rule, so it might be a good time for you to join in. What did you make of last night? I mean, clearly there was not that much on the line. You always get the kind of financial or coefficient or momentum seemed to be the big thing that people spoke about, trying to get maybe a statement performance, a statement result, keep the winning run going. It obviously wasn't to be, and these were the thoughts of the Rangers head coach.
Compare this game to the Bergen game, I see a massive, massive step forward. It's still not good enough at the moment. I think this is what we have to improve in the future, especially in this competition. It's hard to take the 3-1 because we want to take points, but sometimes you have also a little bit to look to the bigger picture, and this is at the moment the right direction. In general, I'm still proud of the development, especially in Europe, and this is where we can work on. But as I said this to my players, I will not speak again about this game. I'm fully focused now on the league. We have a mission, we have a way, and for this we need all our energy now.
What did you make of it?
Comedy defending. On a scale that I thought had passed Rangers by this time. But I think Danny Rowe went out of his way to talk about the remainder of the season. I think he's now, the mindset is League and Cup double, and all efforts will be channeled in that direction. But the defending will need to be substantially better than it was last night, starting at Easter Road on Sunday.
How do you, what's an appropriate reaction to it, Scott? Because Rangers are in a much better place. They had those 8 wins. Things last night, there were things last night that really weren't good. But at the same time, Porto are then maybe a cut above.
They are.
So that doesn't mean it's okay either.
No,
do you know what I mean? So how do you strike the right balance?
Where I was at was, listen, you already know that you're out of the competition, so you're trying to keep that run going. You're going to, listen, if you go even with a strong Rangers team, that is a difficult place to go and win games of football. Porto have some great talent in the squad, none more so than Rodrigo Mora, the young kid who's, I think, he's valued at like 60, 70 million pounds, so they have got real quality. Rangers start the game well, great ball in from Curtis, good finish from Gassama, and then as obviously Hugh alludes to there, like, you just can't legislate for defending like that. That's people having to take responsibility, but at the same time, Rangers have to now fully focus domestically. They were competitive at times, and individual errors can cost
I've
you in any game.
A lot of people on social media, such as the way these days, and maybe we'll get some on the phones. This is your cue, 01419511025, sort of projecting bigger conclusions about James Tavernier and or Jack Butland, because those two are source of debate quite a lot.
Yeah.
And did last night sort of underline anything?
I think in the case of James Tavernier, you know, he equaled Alan McGregor's record for European appearances last night, 109. He's reached the landmark of his 100th goal for Rangers. I think his career is reaching an end at Ibrox, and he's going out on a high with those European appearances, with the number of goals scored, and if he finishes with a League and Cup double, I think he could leave the club on a high, and time is catching up with him. He was never the greatest defender in the world, but he's now a slower, not the greatest defender in the world.
Who's at fault for that one? Because Butland's still a really interesting case as well. I can think Lauren Shanklin's goal at Tynecastle got a bit of stick for this season, but he's made a lot of big saves this season. Look at the amount of penalties for a start he's saved over the last couple of seasons.
You beat me to it there, Gordon. As much as he is at fault last night, he's had some big saves, especially over the last 6 weeks. Of course, James Tavernier can do better, maybe deal with it at source, but then it's between the two of them. The two of them have to share the responsibility. For me, looking at James Tavernier, it's not his fault. Rangers over the years just haven't been able to replace him with someone better than him. That's why he keeps playing and he keeps producing numbers. Yes, in isolation, he's been at fault for quite a few goals over the years in some big games, but Rangers just haven't found someone who can come in and replace him and of a better level.
I've also seen people on social media along the lines of, you know, last night was proof or further evidence that they do need more at the top end of the pitch, more of a cutting edge, a sharper attack. But again, was last night proof of that, or were Porto too good anyway? You know, how do you?
I think Porto are a better side for me.
Did you still see bits of that?
Yeah, but I've seen that domestically as well. As much as Rangers have been winning games, I think that final third decision making has been questionable. I think they get into some, work the ball into some really good areas and just don't have that real, whether it ends in a cross or a shot or a goal, just not enough for me. And I think Rangers and Rangers as a club will be looking to add to that area of the park because you need a bit more finesse in there. Not getting away from it.
Porto's results in the Europa League, and I look at Porto in their own league, and I see a team that's miles better than Rangers. And I think Rangers, the scoreline last night simply reflected the gulf between the two teams. However, Rangers now go back into their own world, the domestic world. They're 4 points behind Hearts. Hearts have an awkward game at Tannadice at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And the championship is very much on for Danny Rule.
So is that why Danny Rule says at the end there, I won't talk about this game again?
Yeah.
He's not using last night as evidence of anything then?
No, because the game's in isolation. You're already out of the competition. You're going basically just to keep the momentum up, I think, for me. And you have to obviously play the game. Obviously Curtis came in, done well, but he looks like he's going to be on his way to Kilmarnock. So yeah, you just listen, forget about it, move on and focus on the domestic.
Okay, you want to talk about last night, Rangers fans, Celtic fans, the transfer window, Kieran Bowie, what do we all make of that? Because that question goes to you Hibs fans, obviously, getting a club record fee for him. But what about Glasgow's big two? Because at various times we've had callers saying that you should sign him, or was the fee too high and so on. Get in touch, let us know. 01419511025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are in the building. We are getting closer to the top of the table clash between St Johnston and Partick Thistle this evening. A massive night for all involved. And of course we had Alex Ray and Tony Watt in together this week. Mark Wilson, formerly regular part of the show, so we'll keep a keen eye on everything you need to know from up there. I've got an interesting teaser for you, thanks to Ryan Senior in Knightswood. Can you name 9 players since 95-96 who've been the top scorer in the Scottish top flight and they've got a double letter in their surname? I love the imagination. I don't know what sets you on the path to that question, but I like where you've arrived. So 9 players since 95-96, top scorer in the Scottish top flight, and have a double letter in their surname.
Kerry Miller.
He's always on the teaser, isn't he? M-I-L-L, in case you need to see the working E-R. Yes.
Nacho Novo.
What would his double letter be?
And his surname.
Exactly. Yes.
Or that have to be.
Oh, it has to be together.
Oh, it has to be together. Yeah. Oh, right.
That was a bit of a Gordon DL inquiry.
Nouveau then.
He's not on it.
Larson.
Yes. S-S-O-N. Sutton. Larson. No. Never been top scorer. Right, we'll leave it there because that's Henrik Larsson and Kenny Miller. Keep your guesses coming and keep your questions coming. They don't have to be as imaginative as that from Ryan. Just whatever you think you've got up your sleeve. Email us on fulltime@clyde1.com and we would genuinely be delighted to use your questions on the show. So please do keep them coming. Mark is a Rangers fan. How are you, Mark?
Ah, not bad, mate. Not bad. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. What did you take away from last night then?
So, do you know what? I actually don't think it was that bad last night. I'm going to be honest, right? So if you take away some of the comedic values, if you will, from the defending, we actually played okay. If you take into consideration who we were playing, we're playing it away, and let's face it, for the first, 60, 70 minutes, you wouldn't necessarily class that as a first-team choice and a first-team selection, considering, you know, there's no Moore or the likes. So I actually don't think we were that bad. What I would say, though, last night probably highlighted that it's probably best that this would be Tav's last season. I think you can maybe still offer something, but in Europe, I think he's done. And I think that second goal, or the third, whatever it may have been, kind of showing that. I think it was poor judgment on him. Should have just left it for Butland. But I don't think we played that bad. I thought the second half we were pretty decent enough. Few errors, which you would expect in Europe, but I think there's a lot you could take away from that game and go, okay, this is where we need to kind of improve. Defence is obvious, but in terms of our attacking play, I do believe we've got a number 9 in there. The leak is a far more realistic than what you would say a couple of months ago.
I know it sounds quite defeatist, Mark, but were you of the view then that, you know, Porto are decent, you were probably going to lose, so lose in a like acceptable manner? I know that sounds a bit strange, but you know, when it gets to 3-1 in the first half, that can get away from you, that can become an ugly night, which then, you know, is damaging, but ultimately you're just quite content with the way it ended.
Yeah, yes and no. Look, I would have loved to win. I don't think anybody wouldn't have, but the way I seen it last night was a bit of a free hit, right? There was nothing to lose there, so go for it. You know, that's what I really wanted to see, is have a proper go. I didn't want to see us sit in a low block for 90 minutes. What's the point, right? There's nothing to be gained in that. You know, for our attacking players, they really do need the extra confidence, and, you know, I think that would have helped. So, yeah, it is sort of defeatist in a way that you're kind of accepting it, but, yeah, I was content enough for the second half. I think if you take out the goals, because I think they were so poor. I don't think we played that badly, so I don't think the score kind of reflects the full game.
I think Rangers scored early, looked good early on, and what happened thereafter comes under the heading of, what did you expect, really? And as Danny Rule said in the dressing room afterwards, I won't talk about this game anymore, because the focus right away is Hibs on Sunday at Easter Road. And Danny Rule, he knows, he's been in Glasgow now long enough to know that if he wins a League and Cup double, they'll be talking about a statue of him in George Square. So that's what he'll be doing.
Scott, the debate around James Tavernier has been here since the day he arrived, and he's been here a long, long time. I wonder if Mark's like the first caller, though, to sort of bring up the latest version of it, because his contract is up at the end of the season, and I anticipate that maybe we've not had a quiet night to really discuss this yet. But between now and in the next couple of months, on here and everywhere, there's surely going to be a big debate about whether it is or isn't a good idea for James Tavernier to extend his stay at Rangers.
Well, I think for me, first of all, you've got to praise the kind of service he's gave to the club, the amount of goals he's scored, the appearances that Hugh spoke about that he's got in Europe, but there's no getting away, maybe at that European level, he might be found wanting now, and that just comes with age, everybody knows it. I think there'll be talk about him last year, whether he was going to leave, but ultimately it comes down to him and the club. The club might be one of the contracts where they offer him a new deal because of the performances he's put in over the years, but he might want to play week in, week out. That's what we won't be privy to as of yet, but I think going forward, Rangers have to look to be replacing him with a young, modern right back. There's no getting away from that. You can't keep relying on the old heads year after year, because ultimately he is the one, time and time again, who comes under a bit of flak from the fans. There's no getting away from that.
We always speak of a legacy. If James Tavernier can finish the season as the captain of the league winning side, having equaled Alan McGregor's record for European appearances, having scored 100 and perhaps 100 plus goals for Rangers, I think he would want to bow out at that particular stage. That's
go somewhere a bit warmer.
Well, whatever, go anywhere you like. You can go, and you know, in the past he's been called all sorts, serial loser and everything. He would have wanted to have won more trophies for Rangers, that's for sure, but he happened to play for Rangers at a time when Celtic were the dominant team in the country. This season offers the possibility of the grand finale for James Tavernier, and if he gets the league title, he'll take it.
Where are you in transfers, Mark? What do you want to see happen? What do you think will happen over the next, 3 days away?
Yeah, I think last night's shown that we need another number nine. That's priority for me. I think Chimite, he's coming onto a game. There's no getting away from that. I think he's really good at hold up play. I don't see him being a 20 goal striker a season. I don't think that's his game. Right? He might prove me wrong, and I hope he does. But I think we need and it pains me to say this, we need a Dessers, a Cholak, somebody that will just sit in the box and score goals. Because I don't think creating chances is a problem for us. Putting it in the net is.
I think one of the outstanding things, sorry to interrupt, Mark, one of the outstanding features of this transfer window has been Rangers' decision not to take offers for Chimite. Clearly, Danny Rule feels there's a better player to come who will go for even greater money than has been offered Rangers' way. So I think Danny Rule's done enough to merit people's trust when it comes to Yusuf Tchermiti.
I'm interested in your take on that last point there, Mr. Creative Midfielder, because I know that's a real passion of yours. Mark says Rangers do create enough, but it's just sticking them away. I wonder if you think they could be more creative.
I do, yeah. I've spoke about it for the last few weeks. I think they work the ball into areas and then where they need that wee bit of creation, I think that's where they lack. So to get to the edge of the 18-yard box, and whether it's the final pass, the final cross, whether it's the right way to pass, all that added in with not having a striker who's ruthless in the box, that's why, for me, I do feel their positions that they need to strengthen. Yes, they're not conceding goals in the Premiership at this moment in time, which is always a good thing. You have to have that foundation there. But I still think the final third, they could be killing games off a lot easier than they have done recently.
Ryan Nadiri seems to be like the front-running name. Mark, is that the kind of profile of striker you can see the club going for?
Yes and no. I can see it from you know, a data side of things. Mm-hmm. I can't sit here and go, oh, he's amazing, a brilliant player. Never seen the kid play,
no,
right?
I won't hold that against you.
Yeah, I can't say I watched German sub football. But, you know, I quite like the profile of it. You know, the problem is everything's data orientated, but there's only so much data that you can take from a third division German side. You can't go, right, okay, well, he's played in the third division, this is his stats. They're not always going to translate to our league or any other league, so you take a bit of faith in it, I suppose. Yeah, I've got no issues with it. I've seen a couple other names popping up today, like Cameron Archer. People will be against it, but I think there's a good player there, really good player. I wouldn't mind seeing him come if that's an option. So yeah, no issues with that. I think we need someone that's going to put the ball in the net.
Like, I think incoming's always much more exciting than outgoing. I wouldn't pretend otherwise, but I'm curious as to your thoughts, Mark, because you've stumbled into being the expert on this. You're a Rangers fan, but you're from Kilmarnock, so you are the authority for now on Finlay Curtis moving down to your hometown team. You okay with that? Would you rather he stayed around?
No, I'd rather he stayed around. I don't think you can talk about game time and minutes in the pitch. I don't think he's going to learn anything that Kilmarnock, they wouldn't learn about being round the first team at Rangers, you know, coming on for a bit part. I really don't like this argument just now. He needs minutes. He's a young kid. See if he plays 10 minutes a game, 5 minutes a game, work him up slowly and steadily. I'm okay with that. I don't want to just fire him in. All due respect to Kilmarnock, but they play a completely different style of football. They always will. So I don't think he's going to learn anything valuable there. All he's going to do is play a few extra games. But I'd rather keep him. I think he's shown last night what he can do. I don't quite get it.
I think for me it depends what the boy wants. If he wants the minutes or not. For me, I think personally, if I was Finlay Curtis, I'd be hanging about the building at Ibrox just waiting for that opportunity again, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or you might just earn the start. I think you want to be around it, especially when Rangers are obviously in the title race. It would be good to be part of that if they were to be successful. So for me, going to Kilmarnock, listen, you'll know Neil McCann and Billy Dodge, you'll have a relationship from them from their time at Rangers last year. But they're in a relegation battle, there's no getting away from that. So the games will be completely different.
I think that relationship's been key, Hugh.
Oh, yeah, without doubt.
I know it was a dead rubber in a sense, but let's go and play in the Dragao against Porto and, you know, yeah, then be loaned out to the bottom of the Premier. What I'm trying to say is, I think there probably would have been a few clubs that would take a player of that level, but is it the McCann Dodds factor?
But that's got to be massive. I mean, they were in the Rangers dugout last season, and now the Kilmarnock managerial team. I just wonder if the thinking behind it is, he's very young, Finlay Curtis. He's going into a hard school because the remainder of this season is dedicated to keeping Kilmarnock in the Premiership. So he's gone to the school of hard knocks rather than a team who are going for the title. Perhaps at the back of Danny Rule's mind, he's thinking, yeah, let him learn the hard way.
Devil's advocate time though, Mark, is it have we not got a problem here that young players just don't play enough minutes and we need to do something to address that, whether it is loan moves?
To be honest, I've never understood why they get rid of the reserve league. Right, I think that was ideal for them, right? That's where you learn your trade. That happened for many years and then it just stopped, and we're back in this cycle of just loaning players out. And we've seen it time and time again. It doesn't always work. They have a poor loan spell and then that's them written off. And then their career kind of sinks a little bit from them because they lose faith.
It's an endless cycle. Yeah, I think what Danny Rule was doing, and actually, you know, previous to that as well, doing it with Finlay Curtis was the right thing. Giving them the 10 minutes, 15 minutes, let them start cup games, you know, in any of that trust to start a European game, dead rubber or not, he gets a chance to do that. That's how you bed them in. I'm a big believer in that. I don't think you should be sending them out on loan to a team that's, you know, fighting relegation. They're not really going to benefit from it apart from playing games.
But that's the thing, can that not be a benefit? Okay, you know, how many of these players do we see? It's been more of a Celtic thing in recent seasons than Rangers, it feels. Oh, but Rangers have still had some as well, where these get, and all of a sudden, you know, they're, because let's take Skov Olsen, the loan fee, the wage, and the finding out if you're going to pay the transfer fee at the end means he is going to play the vast majority.
Yes.
I'm not saying you would blindly play him if he was putting a stinker in every week, but he's going to play. Now, I know people want to see Finlay Curtis maybe above Antman in the pecking order, but Antman's still there. And
wages, transfer fees. So, and that's the football politics side,
you know,
of it.
They've dug in Ngasama. Yep. Mikey Moore sometimes plays off a side. Again, you've got him on loan from Spurs. So is it not better to let guys go out and play?
If it's the right environment.
Right.
Do you regard that as the right environment? In the sense, Scott, that, as I said, it's a fight for survival he's going into now.
Well, it depends what you take from that. What you'll have is, with the relationship with Neil and Billy Dodds, is they have a trust in him. They want to get him in. So they'll likely, you think, they would play through Finlay Curtis and he'll get lots of the ball, and he can be maybe the main creative source at Kilmarnock, because they have really struggled for that. At the same time, when you're playing in the games week in, week out, it can be really difficult, and you'll find out a lot about yourself. So could you go back to Rangers a better player, for better or worse, even going through the bad times? Yes, because football is about that, the challenges and coming back from it. So ultimately, it'll come down to the player if he thinks it's right for him.
Right, before it kicks off, thank you to Mark. A dreadful looking night in Perth. That I can tell through the telly that it's freezing there. That looks absolutely miserable.
God, it looks like that every time there's a game on.
St Johnstone against Partick Thistle, first against second. Disappointing home defeat for St Johnstone at the weekend. Mm. Partick Thistle winning maybe gives the Jags a bit of momentum. How big is this one tonight?
Well, for Mark Wilson, our old pal, the symbolic nature of it, to take Partick Thistle to the top of the league, you know, as I say, he's the butt of the jokes for Gordon DL and everybody else, but to take Thistle to the top of the league tonight is massive for him and Alec Ray.
Especially at this time of the season. I think you look at St Johnstone though, they've obviously added Fowler from Queen's Park, who's been prolific this season. They've got Jamie McGillan, who scored a lot of goals, and Josh McPake, who's going to Hearts at the end of the season. So they do have goals in their team. What Mark's added at Thistle has taken Fraser Taylor from St Mirren on loan, who I think's a very good football player. So this is a huge game tonight, and both managers will know how big this could be in the title race.
Because the thing about Partick Thistle's position is they're probably in the playoffs already. They've got a 14, make sure my numbers are correct, a 14 point cushion to drop out of the playoffs with I think 13 games to go. I suppose they first and foremost have to make sure that it's second at a minimum. It gives you the best chance of the playoffs. You need, from where they are now, it feels like third or fourth would be a real disappointment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But they're facing a Shrewdie and Simo Vallecari, and remember
they battered them, didn't they?
Yeah, took five off them at the start of the season. So there's no free gift scheme. They'll need to work their socks off, and that's why you've got Tony Watt there, because he's the king of the socks.
And Mark, who's on the screen right now, wouldn't want us cutting them too much slack or having too much sympathy, but
it's a good trim, that, isn't it?
Well, it's fresh. Yeah, he said the hairdryer onto that this fresh morning. The difference in budgets and resources, where St Johnstone can go, Josh Fowler's the best striker in our league, so we'll just take him. Mark and Partick Thistle would have taken him.
Yeah,
you know, but they couldn't do that. So anyway, it's going to be interesting tonight. Let's keep an eye on it. And in the meantime, people obviously know what's coming, because the phone lines just lit up there, and I thought, wow, what great insight did Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen just offer? But then I remembered, it's time for this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
22nd of August. That was the night we started the Pundit Predictor, where we asked you to predict three results for cash. It was £100 that night, and we've had to roll it over all the way up to £1,800. They've said no more We need to get a winner at 1800. So come on, let's do it. 01419511025. Call right now. The lines close at the end of this break. If you're the caller selected at random, you have to be over 18, we will ask you to predict St Mirren Dundee, Hibs Rangers, Celtic Falkirk. Get all three right, you win £1,800. It's the Pundit Predictor, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. And like I said, the lines close at the end of this break.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies, delivered on time for over 40 years.
Come on, hopefully tonight is the night on the Pundit Predictor. Every Friday night of the season we've tried it and we have failed every time. Thank you so much to everyone who continues to call. It continues to be extremely popular, but if you are still calling, please hang up the phone. The lines are now closed because our lucky random caller is Angela. How are you, Angela?
I'm good, thanks. Hope you guys are too.
Do you tend to be a good predictor of football matches, Angela?
Not really.
Do you know what? That's absolutely fine, because even the people who think they're good, they've not got it right either, Angela. So three lucky guesses is all it's going to take for £1,800. Let's go through them one by one. St Mirren against Dundee. Is that a St Mirren win, a draw, or a Dundee win?
A draw.
Hibs against Rangers.
A draw.
And Celtic against Falkirk.
Home win.
So two draws, St Mirren Dundee, Hibs Rangers, and a Celtic win against Falkirk. Just out of curiosity,
St Mirren Dundee, two lowest goal scoring teams in the Premiership, a bore fest draw.
Hibs Rangers.
And a wee win for Rangers.
Celtic Falkirk.
Home win for Celtic.
The same as Angela.
Oh, Angela, I don't know if that is good or bad news for you, but we will find out. Enjoy the football over the weekend.
I will do, thank you.
And we'll find out Monday if you've won £1,800. All good?
Thanks so much. All
brilliant.
Guys.
Thank you to Angela. Bye, that Angela. Is the latest on the Pundit Predictor. Thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. Surely this week. Honestly. But do you know what? See, every week when I look at the fixtures, because like, let's be honest, we pick the fixtures. We're just going to pick top flight ones or ones that are maybe local to us. And I always think, I look at them and think, well, actually none of them are obvious.
Yeah.
It's very hard to come up with a list of three that seem obvious. So let's see how Angela goes this weekend. No money up for you guys, but Ryan Senior in Knightswood wants you to name the nine players since the 95-96 season who've been top scorer in the Scottish top flight, and they've got a double letter in their surname. So like Miller, Larson.
Gary Hooper.
Hooper, yep.
Lee Griffiths.
Griffiths, yep.
Chris Commons.
Well done, Scott.
I've got Adam playing? Rooney.
Well done.
Kyle Lafferty.
Nope.
Van Hooydonk.
Yes, okay, so that's two to get, and we'll get them before the end. A quick reminder, we want to have your teasers used on the show full time at Clyde1.com. It started in Perth 2.5 minutes in. There was a nice attack from St Johnstone. The pass was just a bit overhit, and then the Jags going direct. Alex Samuel putting the back line under a bit of pressure, and that's a decent chance. Oh. He hits the side netting. Put in a very good performance last weekend. I think we had a Partick Thistle fan phone in to say it was one of the best Thistle striking performances he'd seen. So Alex Samuel is a confident man. And
he should have done better, I think.
He's hit the side netting. Think so?
Yeah, he miscued it. It was actually
hit it across the goalkeeper, and you're laughing.
Same for both teams, etc, etc. But that pitch is not pretty, is it?
It's a bit like Motherwell just now, isn't it?
Well, I think they did it, and not just saying this, Motherwell's looks barer certainly than it used to. The guys who play on it would correct me, but it still looked like it was at least flat enough against Killy to just about get away with it. That looks really quite bumpy.
Yeah, and historically is when it starts to go on into the season, that becomes quite a poor pitch. I think it'll be interesting to see what United is like tomorrow against Hearts.
If it's on.
It's had the covers on since Wednesday, so you would expect that to be on.
Thistle have started well. They're not taking as many chances at the back. The kick out wasn't brilliant there. But they're trying to go a bit more direct. But then if you don't find those balls, and St Johnstone, very nice passing side, they're able to just regain control and try and move forward. Right, speaking of pitches, Livy, another week. Is this the week for the win? The Steelmen go there, Motherwell heading to Livy.
No. Motherwell won't do that. There's a reason why you've got one win in 23 games. You're rotten.
Sorry, Marvin, if you're listening.
I know.
Or, I can't promise cutting edge analysis here, but got to win at some point.
I don't buy the law of averages.
Ever?
It's not won since August.
Okay, so will Livy end the season on one win?
No, no. So they play Falkirk in a couple of weeks at home, don't they?
Or you go back to that thing that they just always beat Falkirk.
Potentially, yeah. That, I think that would maybe be their best bet, as well as Falkirk are going. But I'd be very surprised if they were to overcome Motherwell tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Kelly Aberdeen. Still no official confirmation, I don't see, unless I've missed something from Finlay Curtis.
Listen, Kelly conceded 4 goals last week and, yeah, and Aberdeen get the 6, so it's, it depends how Kilmarnock start the game. But I think Aberdeen, if they want to change things, Peter leaving, you would expect he's got that team now a bit more confidence in them. Signings coming in, you would expect Aberdeen, if they plan to have a good second part of the season, to go there and win.
I think you'll need to battle though. I'm not sure about their battling qualities on the road. So I think it'd be closer than might be thought, but you'd favour Aberdeen.
Kelly just haven't been defending well enough to win games of football, and that's the reality.
We go on about Livy, 1-1 in 23. Kilmarnock have been 2. So they're only marginally better than Livy.
Really nice counter-attack from Partick Thistle. Just overhit a bit then as Tony Watt, inspired by his Beat the Pundit performance. All right, was it actually? Forgive me. No, I don't think it was in the end. But it was a fierce shot and it was palmed away. This is a good game. The pitch and the conditions are really poor. It was Tony Watt. And Thistle threatening the goal more than St Johnston are. But it has been a decent game. 2 different styles so far. We mentioned the pitch. Tannadice, will it hold up? The league leader shoe. Symbolism. If you don't believe in law of averages, do you believe in symbolism? The chance to be 9 ahead of Celtic before they play on Sunday for Hearts?
I believe it'll be tougher. You know, at the end of the day, they played a 10-man Celtic last Sunday, and a Celtic who were having an off day. They scored 2 wonderful goals, Celtic, but in between the 2 goals, they were fairly awful.
Hearts played their part, and Celtic been off a little here.
Well,
but they brought them into the battle, didn't they?
At the same time, they didn't win it, and they were at home. Yeah.
Matto has joined after much discussion. So they're trying to get, you know, we've always said it's who wins this transfer window might win the league.
I was watching a documentary the other day and people were speaking about that infamous or famous Dundee 2 Hearts 0 on the day that Hearts were 7 minutes away from the title in 1986. And, you know, every time any Hearts supporter goes on to Tannadice Street, he must have a shiver down his back. So they're on Tannadice Street tomorrow, shivering away.
Right, I think we're almost out of time. It's been a bright start this by Partick Thistle. They've not done it all their own way and they've made a couple of mistakes, but they've got the best goal scoring chances for sure. And chance to load the box with a free kick. It was a poor challenge from Boys on Ben McPherson. And unless they score in the next minute or so, you'll need to hear about it on tomorrow's show. So let's finish this teaser. Ryan asked if you could name 9 players since 95-96 top scorer in the Scottish top flight, and they've got a double letter in their surname. So like Hoydonk, who's got double O, Larson, double S, Miller, double L, Hooper, Commons, Rooney, Griffiths, 2 to get.
Is it your man who played for Motherwell?
Van Veen?
Yeah.
No.
McCoist? Rod Wallace?
Nope. They're all the remaining 2 are the most recent 2 on the list.
Are they old firm players?
One was, yep. Is no longer. One is actually at Motherwell now, but wasn't then. What do you do with food in the kitchen? Before you eat it, you
cook it.
Regan Charles Cook.
And the most recent one, just last season, who was the top scorer in the league last season? He's got a double S in his name, and he used to play for Rangers.
Dessers.
There we go. Thank you very much to Scott Allen and to Hugh Keevans. With 9 minutes gone at St Johnston 0, Partick Thistle 0. That kicks off a huge weekend of domestic football after the glamour of Europe, and with the transfer window open, but getting towards the finale on Monday. So enjoy the rest of your Friday. GBX is up next, and make sure you join us 2 o'clock tomorrow. We will see you then.
Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country?
Get a new 2026 Subaru Forester with 1.9% APR financing for up to 63 months.
Easy to deal with, easy to get to. Byers Airport Subaru.
By the airport!
See dealer for details. Offer ends 3/31/26.